You know, today is Mother's Day. I'm seeing roses back there. It's a day that's dedicated to those that gave, that are giving. It's a day that is dedicated to a person who was very influential in your life, in every life here. You know, mothers are heroes. They're protectors. And one of the first things I remember, and I don't know how, I can't remember how old I was, but they say that I was 2 years old, and they say you're not supposed to remember this kind of stuff, but I do remember this. And we lived in a old farmhouse, and there was a little pump house outside the front door, and I've got some family here that probably going to correct me, but this is the way I remember it. This little pump house was out there outside the door, and it had kind of a round top on it, and it had a door facing the house. And somehow I got in that thing and got a hold of a wire. And I don't remember the shock, but I remember my mother's scream and her coming for me. And she said she jerked me off the hot wire. I was hooked on there. So I don't remember the shocking part, but I remember the screaming part and the. So we could all go down memories lane, and you know, there's things we remember. And it blessed me yesterday just to watch the young mothers, their children, taking care of them, their responsibilities. And some of these young mothers here were just little girls not very long ago. And time changes so fast. They grow up so fast. If we look at it honestly, it's a day that brings memories, like I said, in some very different ways. To some, it brings warm feelings, but also pain, because mother's no longer with us. Or there may be pain because things were not like they should have been. To some, it may bring pain because God hasn't granted them children or has taken them away. I have a friend, and a lot of you would know the family, down about an hour south of here. A friend that was about my age that stayed in contact with, we got to know each other as young teenagers and stayed in contact over the years, and he got married and I got married within a couple years of each other, and we had always kept contact. But he died several years ago with cancer, and he was the only son, only child. I've stayed in contact with his mother, and I called her this past week and wished her a happy Mother's Day. And she said, "I don't really feel like a mother." But you know, I assured her that wasn't the case. She has nieces and nephews. She has neighbors and people she reaches out to. She is still reaching out as a mother. She fills a motherly role to many. And you know, it seems like there is a chain of events. After she lost her son, 2 weeks later, she lost her husband, and just recently she lost one of her closest sisters. So it's, you know, life is tough. It can be pain. There can be a lot of pain there. But I'd just like to say to you sisters, wherever you find yourself today, you fill an important role. School teachers, Sunday school teachers, vacation Bible school. There's so many opportunities. There's so many places. There's so many places that you can reach out. You are needed and valued wherever you find yourself here. If you want to turn with me, I'd like to look at a couple of biblical examples of mothers. I should say it maybe this way. It involves mothers. And the first one I want to look at is Luke chapter 7, a very familiar account there. And I want to break in there at verse 11, Luke chapter 7, verse 11. And maybe for those of you that can, you just stand while we read these couple of verses, 11 through 16. And it came to pass, this is after the centurion's servant was healed. It says, it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And the Lord, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, or the coffin. And they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God hath visited his people. You may be seated. You know, this is an example, I believe, of showing Jesus that Jesus sees and he cares. He hurts with the hurting heart. There may be pain because of decisions that children have made, but Jesus is still as concerned for your child as he was for this mother in Nain. He longs to give that healing touch. You know, this young man was dead. His life was gone. And you know, every one of us have been or are in the place of this young man. We're without hope if it wasn't for Christ, dead in sin. You know, every child needs the Master's healing touch. This mother's son didn't, I don't think he had a choice in accepting healing that day. He was healed, and it says he sat up and he spoke. That wasn't his decision, but I believe he had a decision to make. He had to make the decision, is he going to accept the healer as his Lord and Savior? And I would like to think that he did and that he followed Christ from that day forth. You know, how could he not when the reality hit him? But really, you know, why is it that so many find it hard to wholeheartedly follow Christ when we see what Christ has suffered for us, when we see what he has done and what he offers us, life, just like he did to this young man, hope. But so often we get pulled away with other things. I'd like to take you now to an Old Testament story, 1 Kings chapter 17. You can turn there if you want. I'm going to share the story, and then I'll be your start breaking at verse 8 and read 8 to 24 of 1 Kings 17. It's a story of Elijah. And we know Ahab, it was at a very dark time in Israel. Ahab was he says he was one of the wickedest kings in Israel. And they were worshiping Baal. And God came to Elijah and he said, you need to go to Ahab and tell him that it's not going to rain. There's not going to be any dew or rain for these years until you say that it can rain. And Elijah went to Ahab, told him that, and he knew he had to flee because now Ahab's looking at Elijah as the man that's keeping it from raining instead of God. And Elijah was going to, they were out to get Elijah. So God told Elijah, he said, go east, go to the brook Cherith that's over there by Jordan, and you can drink from that brook, and there'll be ravens that bring you food. I'll take care of you there. So he went to this brook. Some commentators think he might have been at this brook for 2 years. And he drank from this brook, and he was fed by the ravens. And, you know, I don't know what kind of, it says ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. So I don't know how good you would be with these birds bringing, or the crows bringing you your food morning and evening. But Elijah seemed like he fared well there, and he went, but this brook kept drying up. It kept getting smaller, and it kept getting smaller. And it finally got to where there was nothing there. He didn't have water anymore. He may have even dug a hole and got everything he could get, and it gets down to no more water. He has to do something else. And then in verse 8, it says, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after that, make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou not come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said to her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. So here we have a story of a man that knew his life was going to be in danger. First of all, he faced the same drought that he told Ahab, the king of Israel, would come to pass. And you know, when it doesn't rain for 6 weeks in the summer time, it gets really dry. And many of us know what a summer looks like. It's hard to imagine right now because it's nice and green. It's beautiful out there, beautiful spring mornings. But when it gets dry, it doesn't rain, it gets hot, really hot, every day, on and on. Everything gets crackly and brown. Grasshoppers show up, eat the things that are any green that's left. You know, the hay that's planned on us, that we're planning on to see us through the winter, gets used in the fall. You know, it gets I don't know about you, but kind of discouraging. You want to see green so badly. Well, just imagine, this just goes on and on, and drier and drier. And this is what Elijah was facing. And God told Elijah, go down to the brook to hide himself there. You know, didn't he have friends? Didn't he have people that would look out for him? I don't know. But God provided him for him despite what was going on around him. You know, this didn't happen without a relationship. But without a relationship with God, there was communication. Elijah was obedient. You know, he could have done like Jonah, jumped ship and said, I'm going to go to some place where they're not having a famine. I'm getting out of here. Why sit here and deal with this long drought? But you know, God needed him where he was, and he stayed. And as time went on, the brook dried up. Hadn't God sent him there? What was happening? Why is the brook dry? How am I going to make it, God? What do you think was going through his mind as the brook kept getting smaller and smaller? What do I do now? You know, God could have kept that brook running just for him, just as easy as he could have provided for him in Zarephath. But that's not where he wanted him. He needed him somewhere else. Maybe Elijah was tempted to be discouraged like we are sometimes. We know that after that great victory later on in Mount Carmel, he was very discouraged. He wanted to die. James 5:17 talks about him. He says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So he said he was a man subject to like passions as we are. But God had another place in mind for him. Maybe I like to think there was someone else. God heard this woman in Zarephath crying out to God for mercy. She had a need. She was in distress. And God had a purpose of sending Elijah to a temporary place. You know, is there a lesson in that for us today? Hebrews 13:14 says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Do we get too attached, too permanently stuck? Do our lives styles portray that? Are we open to open doors? Can God depend on you and I to be his hands and feet? You know, what am I willing to do for the one who was willing to give all for me? Elijah had to get out of his comfort zone. Maybe we think his situation at the brook wasn't that comfortable. But I think he had a place where he knew where he was, his needs were met. You know, maybe you're here this morning, you're facing an area in your life that gives you the feeling of the brook drying up. And it can be in any area or it can be in any era of our lives. We're facing change. We fear to get out of our comfort zone. You know, God has a plan and he will provide if we wait on him. It may not be the way I have it planned. You know, wonder what Elijah was thinking. What do you think his solutions were? What does God have in mind? Do you think his thoughts went to maybe I have a 90-mile trek across the desert in a land where I'm a wanted man in the wide open, unprotected land, hot and dry? Did Elijah struggle with feelings like God has forgotten me? I'm trying to obey him the best I can, and he just doesn't give me a clear answer. Isaiah 41:10 says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, God knows where you are. And more than that, he knows where you're going. And he has a plan for you. You know, God provided in an unusual place here in Elijah's situation. Maybe Elijah was hoping for some place to go where there was some rich people with a nice little room on the side of their house where he would be well taken care of and where his meals would be meat and potatoes after being fed by ravens. I don't know what he thought or what he was hoping for, but it wasn't to be. It says, "The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Why did God send Elijah to Gentile territory? If we read in Luke chapter 4, we see there where Jesus told them that there was a lot of places, there was a lot of widows in Israel, but the one God reached out to was to the one in Zarephath, to one of the Gentiles. Because they weren't open to God working in their lives. He went to a foreigner that did not serve the same God. If the word Zarephath, I understand, means refinery, smelting place. And I don't know if that is there for a reason or purpose or just coincidence, but it's interesting. You know, God sometimes chooses to put us in difficult or challenging places to refine us, to knock off the rough edges. You know, think of the three Hebrew boys and what they went through. They literally faced the fire. They walked through it. God miraculously kept them safe. How many times does God keep us, whether we realize it or not? But ultimately, following God, we have everything to gain, even if we don't survive physically. We see the ones that were involved in Elijah's survival here. Kind of unusual. He rose, went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, "Fetch, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And she's going after. She listened. She went after the water. And then he called out to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Remember, he had just traveled 90 days across the desert. He was hungry, thirsty. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." You know, what a discouraging, what a sad place to be. God sent him to a desolate person for help. She was there struggling to survive. In fact, she had given up on survival. She was just going to, it looked like she was going to cash in. She was done. They were going to take the last little bit, eat the last little bit she had and give up. And here she was the one that he was told to go to that was going to sustain him. What do you think went through his mind when he asked her for a drink and then food, and he discovers her plight? We see her willingness to get him a drink. She could get that. That was available. She had water. But when he asked for bread, she said, I don't have to give. She was doing what she could. She was preparing. She was out there gathering sticks. She was out there, something she could build a fire with to make the last little morsel, the best she could, I believe. She was diligent. And I think that's what God is looking for, people that are diligent, doing the best they can with what they have. And really, humanly speaking, did she have anything to give? You know, everything in your normal motherly instinct would say, "This is my child. I have to take care of him. I can't. I have nothing to give. I am responsible. This is my child." She was the one that he was responsible to protect. But notice her obedience, even when she had a heavy burden on her heart. You know, her resources were basically gone. Her house was empty. Yet God chose to use her, and she obeyed. Elijah was obedient to God's commands. This woman was obedient to what Elijah asked of her. And I would tend to think there was something in Elijah's demeanor, his character, the way he looked, that she just felt like, this is someone I need to listen to. Kindness. Elijah needed what she had. And she needed the faith that Elijah had. Without Elijah's faith and her obedience, you know, a great blessing would have been lost here. A story that's been an inspiration to countless people wouldn't have been recorded. You know, looking at her perspective from a human's perspective, there was not much hope. Eat, wait, and die. But Elijah said, "Don't be afraid. Don't worry." You know, Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 25, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So we see Jesus' perspective. what do we put first? Is our first priority to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And then he says, all these things shall be added unto you. So to live, it was imperative that she gave. Or we could say, give to live. If you want a title for the message, I think that would be my title, Give to Live. In essence, Elijah was saying, put me first. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, Christ must have the preeminence in our lives. If God's not first, then there is another God in our lives. Elijah was in the situation he was in because the Israelites were following after Baal. The God that they believed sent the rain, would bless them by granting them good crops. You know, God wanted to show them otherwise. He wanted to show them that he was the one that was in control of all things. He was the one that demanded their worship. God is a jealous God. Elijah tells this woman, says, bake me a cake first, and afterwards, bake one for yourself. There was a promise attached. It says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. The crock, a little crock, I don't know how big the crock was, but with the meal will not run out. Do you think this woman comprehended what he said when he said that? When she went and in faith went and made the cake for him, and then there was enough there to make a cake for herself, for a child, and it just kept on. There was always some there. She had sufficient. She had a daily supply like the manna in the wilderness. There was enough to meet the demands of the day. You notice in verse 15 says, and she went and did according to the saying Elijah, and she ate. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And something stood out to me here. I don't think I've noticed it before. But her obedience blessed not only her and her son, but it said it blessed Elijah, and it says her house. So we don't know what that means. How much extended family, how many other people were blessed by her obedience through this time? Obedience or following Christ affects those around you. It blesses those of your household. It blesses your community, your church. It has far-reaching effects. You know, there's, when we think of Mother's Day and the blessings we have, there's so many, our heritage, we are so blessed. We have so many things that we are blessed by. And I was just blessed again today as I think of mothers and thinking of other growing up, my grandmothers, aunts, people that had an influence in my life. And it's such a blessing. And, you know, if you're here this morning and you don't feel like you have that, it's your opportunity to make something different in the future, to be that blessing. And I trust that somehow, regardless, that you felt you had some connections that gave you that encouragement in your life that you needed. I think of my friends, some of my friends' mothers, and the blessing they were too in my life. So sometimes we think that what I do just affects me. What does it matter? What does it matter for those around me? But what if those ahead of us would have said that? What does it matter? It just affects me. It doesn't. It reaches out. It goes on. That's why we're here this morning. That's why your faith, that's why we have the blessings that we have. This widow had very little, but she gave what she had. And it became much in the master's hands. You know, she didn't have, I don't think she had a savings account. She wasn't holding anything back. She gave it all. She was willing to give what she had. You know, Brother Brian shared the story last Sunday about the child that gave his two fish and the five loaves. You know, I don't think that boy had another little baggie stuck in his back pocket and said, well, I'll give my lunch, but I've got, you know, I'm at least going to hang on to some little jerky sticks back here or something to get me by in case this doesn't work out. No, he gave it. and I don't think he had any backup plan. And God provided much. It multiplied greatly. We know how the story goes. Many were blessed by his willingness to share. When we willingly give, it becomes much in the master's hands. You know, we serve a master that is not limited. Too many times it's us, it's me, it's you that places the limitations, our faithlessness, our unwillingness to leave the brook that is drying up, our unwillingness to step out of our comfort zone to be his hands and his feet, our unwillingness to give what we have, to let it be used in the master's hands, to be his hands and his feet, his mouthpiece. Are you willing to speak out for him? Hudson Taylor's motto was, God's work done in God's way will receive God's supply. What was true of God's provision for Elijah and the woman at Zarephath can also be applied to our daily spiritual needs. God gives us the grace and the strength for the daily battles we face if we're just willing to give it to him. He knows the situation of every brook we have in our lives, of every journey that we're going through. He has a plan, and the road may not always be easy. And the way we would like to go, it may take us across the desert. It may take us to a place that we don't see. May not really be what the flesh wants, what I want, but is it what God wants? God, you ask us to leave the dry brook, to walk across the dangerous, dry, open desert. Suddenly the door is closed. Did we not hear right? Did you really mean for us to come this way? There's questions. You know, after the prophet comes to Zarephath, things have settled down. Life is going on. The cruise of oil stays there. The meal stays there. But one day, things went for the worse. It says, the son of the woman fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? We see Elijah's response. You know, it seems to me we see the heart of the master. You know, Elijah was a type of Christ, I believe. Jesus was always compassionate. We don't see a rebuke. Elijah could have well had a close relationship with this young man by this time. I would guess that he took the opportunities he had to teach him about the God of Israel. And to just share a lot of stories with him. We don't know. But we see Elijah getting very involved. What sin was she talking about? We don't know. But we know that we deal with the very real effects of sin in this world. We see the anguish and the suffering that sin produces. You know, there was no sickness. There was no pain before the fall. Sin brought this all on. Here Elijah was blamed. This woman's cry of anguish was a natural outburst of grief. The accusation reflects the difference between them. You know, Elijah didn't take that personal. He didn't seem to be affected. She sees the tragedy as a punishment. And Elijah didn't remain unaffected. He became very involved. He interceded for her. 1 John 2, 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In the spiritual realm, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. Sometimes in trying to help, we are perceived as the enemy, like Elijah was here. Ahab considered Elijah his enemy. You know, we had that in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Stephen was considered an enemy. You know, if we're an influence for Christ in this world, we will face times that we are considered the enemy. We notice again Elijah's response. He didn't condemn her. Rather, he cried out to God for her. He pointed her in the right direction. He took the child in his arms. He carried the weight of anguish and bitterness. That's what Christ wants to do for us, for you today. Are we willing to be his hands and his feet? And notice Elijah's cry, why? God heard and he answered. He brought the child to his mother and said, see, thy son liveth. Give to live. Are we willing to lay our lives on the line for those that are dead in sin? Are we in a position to offer real comfort, real answers, real hope? I think that's a challenge. The challenge I'd like to leave, challenge for me, challenge I'd like to leave with you today. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Be ready always to give an answer to every man. Are we ready? You know, we can't. If we're not full of it, if we're not filled, we won't have anything to give. And if we want to be filled, we're going to have to spend time. We're going to have to spend time in the Word. We're going to have to be active in the work of Christ, active in the kingdom, and being a part of God's kingdom here on this earth. Let's be committed to give to live. Let's kneel together for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee again this morning, we thank You again for Your many blessings. We thank You for the opportunity we've had to gather together today. We thank You for Your Word, for the hope that we can have in You. We thank You for the examples that we have in Scripture of Your care, of Your love, and Your desire for mankind. Lord, just help us to open our hearts to You and to be willing to do whatever it takes to find peace with You and to be willing to walk with You, be willing to give, to walk with open hands and share. Lord, will You know each heart, You know each struggle, and You know each pain, and You know where everyone that's here or that's listening in, the struggles, we just pray Your love, Your mercy, and Your feel Your grace. If there's sin that's not standing in the way, we just pray that You might not let anyone leave from here without being willing to just go all the way and just to be open and to share and to give give it all to You. Lord, knowing that Your desire is still to heal, to bring life, to bring us out of those clutches of death, and to that we can have the hope, a clear hope and a confidence that regardless what happens to us, that we are safe in Your hands. We just pray Your blessing on each of our mothers and sisters here today. Just pray You might bless them for their labors and their sacrifice, their labors of love. Give them strength and courage in the duties and the responsibilities that You lay on them. And we just pray that You might just keep us all in Your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.